This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Border to Border, the best radio show in the state of Wisconsin. Voted on by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association. The award-winning Wendy's Big Show.
Let's get ready to rock. Let's get ready to go. Get set. Ready. Get up. Hey. Let's get it on with
the Wendy's Big Show.
Oh, showtime, baby.
Play some ball.
Showtime.
This is the Wendy's Big Show with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, former Badger and Packers running back Gary Ellerson, and the inventor of the Lambeau Leap, Leroy Butler.
Well, it's the Big Show. Yeah, Big Bad Show tonight.
Welcome in. It is the Wendy's Big Show, served up hot and fresh, live from the Lakeland University studios with online learning in seven locations throughout the state. Learn on your terms, Lakeland.edu. Anthony Wetrado, senior MLB writer for Forbes, will join us coming up about 1.5 hour from right now, talking about the Brewers and how that NL West stacks up against the crew between the Giants, Padres, and Dodgers, as he's based out in California. Looking forward to talking to Anthony Wetrado, formerly the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel from years ago. So we'll talk with him. Right now, I really want to get into this college football thing because we really haven't talked about it at all on this show.
Good.
And I really, really want to see where Gary and Leroy are at on this thing, because now Leroy's school is officially involved, and now I really want to discuss this. So first off, we have Oklahoma and Texas who say, toodles to the Big 12, we're going to go to the SEC. Then came rumblings of, well, maybe the Big 12 is just going to dissolve then. Maybe all these schools are going to get picked off by their conferences. So maybe Kansas and Iowa State end up in the Big 10. Mm-hmm. But then wouldn't Kansas State have to come with Kansas? And how do you break them up? So who does the Big 10 get? Haven't heard anything really on the Big 10 picking any of these schools off since that initial report of Oklahoma and Texas to the SEC. Then yesterday afternoon, right about just a little bit after, you know, we sign off, comes a report that now Clemson and Florida State, Gary, want to head to the SEC as well. So that means they're going to add Oklahoma, Texas, Clemson, and Florida State to what already is a loaded SEC to begin with. Do you know who's got chest pains? Nick Saban. That's who's got chest pains. What is going on, Gary?
Well, money. And that's where the money's at.
Speaking of which, Saban just signed a contract extension for like $84 million.
Yeah,
so he's not too much chest pains.
That's where the money's at. Nick don't have any chest pains. Money's good with Nick.
If you add him, if he won a championship, you get more.
Right.
They can let Nick go tomorrow. He don't need nobody to go to talk to an HR and nothing like that. So
yeah, why would he even come to the pros, though?
Yeah,
getting money like
he could
that.
Do that, too. But it's money, Steve. The money's in the SEC and also in the Big Ten. I mean, those are the two major conferences that are out there today. Now, listen, and the Big Ten is a little bit more persnickety, a little bit more selective. You know, they're a little bit more above it all, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
So they kind of pick and choose who they want. They don't have other teams tell them that they want to come in, so it's a little bit different. But with the SEC, they're kind of wide open. They'll take anybody. But not necessarily they'll take anybody, but they'll take the top programs because they know that's only going to make them stronger.
Right.
And what they're going to end up having is if we were ever go to a playoffs and they get 10 teams, It'll be mostly SEC teams in the playoffs making all the money.
But how's that going to be? Because you're going to be competing against everybody, which means your records, you're not going to have a bunch of undefeated guys because y'all are going to be beating up
on each
other.
Yeah, but everybody's going to know the strength of schedule. Everybody's going to know maybe you can lose now two or three games because that's what's going to happen. Because if you got 10 teams, you're going to have a couple of losses.
Gary, if I'm Arkansas, I'm done. It's all done.
Those guys need to figure out how to get out.
They're done. Yeah. There's a lot of schools right now in the SEC are looking at this going.
They need to figure out get out. And they need to then go to the ACC. Or to the Big 12. That's where those guys need to go. That bottom tier. But see, they won't leave because they want the money as well.
Even though they're never going to win.
They're never going to win, but they'll take the money. And so it's a tough situation for, you know, Arkansas. Who else is in there? Ole Miss, Mississippi State, them jokers. They can't leave the SEC.
Wait a minute. So the NCAA took Terrell
Pryor's jersey. Terrell Pryor sold his stuff.
Okay, that too.
To the barbershop guy.
Allegedly. Fine.
You want to use the word allegedly? Whatever. Yeah, fine. He sold stuff to the barbershop guy.
Fine.
Whatever.
Say he did on him. Johnny Manziel said.
Autographs.
He used to get autographs. Okay, fine.
$30,000 he made.
And you got Reggie Bush Heisman.
Suppose they got him a house.
And then the Fab Five. Allegedly. Want to benefit.
Fab Five want to benefit for their likeness.
Well, let them do it. But the school could just pick up and go.
Yeah.
They'll be ashamed of themselves. And now you're getting around to paying players? Now you see it? The players, y'all can't get none of this money. We getting paid. Say, man, do what you want. I don't care. But let the players benefit too. The team, the school's benefiting. If two SEC teams, because it's almost like propaganda. What's the best conference? SEC. Where you at? It's always SEC. I mean, that's the best conference. Clemson has been beating Alabama. Ohio State, they're in the conversation because they get all these kids. But when you start moving these conferences, then you're recruiting. It's different than when you're recruiting when you're in the ACC. Now, Florida State used to be independent when I was there. We go where we want, play who we want. Keep all the money. But if two SEC teams are in the championship game, they got to split that money in the whole conference with everybody. So if you're a school that's not that great, you can still come over and make the money. I don't have a problem with these coaches leaving and signing all this money, but the one people get left behind are the kids. Now the kids are trying to catch up. You remember people used to call in, but you're getting an education. Yes. Remember that?
Yep.
But I got to eat ramen noodles and saltine crackers. But I got an education, though. But the school can make hundreds of millions of dollars. Why we all can't eat? So that's what it's coming to. So you'll see a lot of hopscotch. I don't have a problem with it.
Got some news on the Bucks here that I missed because I haven't been following Adrian Wojnarowski literally every 2 minutes. Adrian Wojnarowski saying that the Raptors are planning to release forward Rodney Hood, I would assume because they're signing Sam Decker. And upon clearing waivers, Hood intends to sign a deal with the Milwaukee Bucks. Ooh. So Rodney Hood, shooter Leroy.
So
he is going to be a member of the Milwaukee Bucks, according to Adrian Wojnarowski.
So does you feel good about the 10 o'clock topic with P.J. Tucker?
No.
You still mad?
No, Rodney Hood is not P.J. Tucker. Rodney Hood is a shooter, but Rodney Hood is not the P.J. Tucker toughness, defender,
whatever.
Leader.
Whatever.
He ain't none of that.
Yeah, he ain't none of that. He's nice, but who would you rather have, though?
Tucker. Yes.
You need to stop.
You asked me.
Okay, well, we ain't got that. Leroy, who you rather have, Garrett?
Rodney Hood's a better Tucker. Offensive player.
So you rather have Tucker?
Yeah, you hung up on numbers. You're surprising me with that.
What you hung up on?
Production. You need.
He averaged 2 points a game.
See, you know better than that, Leroy.
You just said production. Maybe you want to do a deal with toughness.
Toughness.
You pay for toughness. Okay.
Yeah. Well, because sometimes that could be the missing ingredients to your team.
Oh, stop.
And it was a missing ingredient for this Bucks team for a while.
But I ain't going in a luxury tap deeper for it.
Well, it doesn't matter. I mean, you didn't go into it. Let's just see what happens. I'm okay with it. I mean, it's day money. I can't spend it. It's day money. I can't spend it. Let's see what happens. But this team was lacking toughness, and that's what they got from P.J. Tucker.
Your guy Rodney Hood here.
Yeah.
He shot 30% from three. That's not good. 30% from three last year. He played 17 minutes a game, was 1.7 for 4.7, so 36% from the field, but only 30% from three. The previous year, in 2019-20, at age 27, he shot 49% from three, which is significantly better on 3.5 threes per game, averaged 29.5 minutes per game. But again, he only played 21 games. That was that short in a season. Last year, 55 games for them. Career 36% shooter from three-point range. So that's what we're talking about here. Rebounds-wise, let's see here. He averages 2.7 rebounds, 1.8 assists, a half a steal in his career, averages 11.3 points in his career. And he will be age 29 for the Milwaukee Bucks coming up this year. And knowing it's Bud's system, it's going to be shoot the three. That's what it's going to be.
Yeah, it worked. Won a championship.
So but again, chemistry-wise, how he fits in the locker room and so forth, I'm not sure how that all fits. I mean, this dude's been around. He's been in Utah, Cleveland, Portland, Toronto. So he's been around the league, and he's been in the league, seven seasons, nine seasons, somewhere in that area? So
that's
not,
all
not
left,
even
though,
nine
really.
Seasons. That's not even right.
That's all left is journeyman, left to fill your roster because it's so top-heavy with all the money.
6'8", shoots left-handed. Guard, small forward, Rodney Hood, expected to be the newest member of the Milwaukee Bucks. All right, we're going to get back to this college football thing. Are you concerned the way college football is heading? We'll get Gary's take on this coming up, and we'll talk about some of these teams on the bottom half of the SEC that maybe should consider getting out of the SEC. The Van Horn Direct toll-free talk line, 855-830-8648. Experience online car buying on your terms with Van Horn Direct.
You're listening to the Big Show Radio Network.
Welcome back, Wendy's Big Show, served up hot and fresh. See Sparky Fiverr, the two former Packers, Gary Ellerson, Leroy Butler, and you on a Tuesday. So far, the Milwaukee Bucks, it looks like Sammy Ojale. I can't even say his name now. Oh, yeah. I was saying it so good earlier, too. Ojale, thank you. Ojale, it looks like he's going to be a Buck on a one-year deal. And now the latest, Rodney Hood, who's going to be released by the Raptors, I'm guessing to make room for Sam Decker, is going to be a member of the Milwaukee Bucks as well, according to Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN. So those are the two latest additions for the Milwaukee Bucks. I'll be honest, neither one gets me overly excited. Okay, so talking about college football right now, are you concerned with the way college football is heading, knowing that Oklahoma and Texas are headed to the SEC, plus now, as of yesterday, Florida State and Clemson have interest in going to the SEC. We're talking about bottom schools in the SEC, Gary, right? Of schools that may want to consider getting out at some point here. That would be the biggest question mark. Now, look, you've already got Texas A&M over here, who made their move with Jimbo Fisher, and that already is a tough program to have to deal with to start with. So if we go back to last year's standings, right. Vanderbilt.
Right. And
winless in the conference.
And Vanderbilt really is...
Could be Big Ten.
Well, it's like Northwestern, right?
Could be Big Ten.
Of the SEC.
Yeah, could be Big Ten. They would fit.
They would, and it's in Tennessee, so it's not that... You're talking east, so you can line them up the east side of the Big Ten.
Yeah, Vanderbilt. South Carolina Gamecocks.
Actually, Big Ten would love to have, going back to Vanderbilt, the Big Ten would love to have Vanderbilt. No doubt about it. They fit right in.
They would fit right in. It would be perfect. No question. South Carolina.
Not sure.
Tennessee.
They take Tennessee to them because it gives Vanderbilt a natural rivalry in Tennessee and you're still on the East Coast.
Wouldn't that hurt, man? I mean, Tennessee is SEC football.
It used to be, but not anymore. You think about it. When the last time the joke has been relevant?
No, I know. I'm just saying. You see the Volunteers. You say Tennessee Volunteers, you go SEC. Like, you don't.
And that's why they may not move. But if you're doing, and the Big Ten like these packages type deals, So if you think about the East Coast, and if you can get Vanderbilt and Tennessee, you get that built-in rivalry, they will love
that. So you could add Vanderbilt, Tennessee, Kansas, and Iowa State. Those four. If you take two from the Big 12 and two from the SEC, you could add four more to the Big Ten.
Yeah, but they need what the Big Ten need, though. They need a powerhouse.
Another one?
They need another Penn State.
Notre Dame. Notre Dame.
But Notre Dame would never leave. Well, they could now if the ACC is falling apart.
See, and that's just it. Like, so what does Notre Dame do now?
So if they get Notre Dame, then they don't even really need Tennessee or any of them jokers. If the Big Ten can just get Notre Dame, they're done. They're set. Now, they probably would have to add another team to make it
two. Right. Equal. Iowa State.
So Iowa State would fit because you got Iowa. They take them.
Good football program, good basketball program. It works.
So, yeah, that they would fit.
Okay, so then you have Kentucky and Missouri are the other two not ranked last year in the East.
So those guys will probably go to the Big 12.
All right, now to the West, Mississippi State.
Don't know what they're going to do.
Arkansas.
That's too Southern. All those guys, Big
12. Ole Miss.
Big 12.
Right? And then LSU, Auburn, Texas A&M, Alabama all stay.
Yes.
Georgia, Florida stay.
Yeah.
And then you add in, again, Oklahoma, Texas, Florida State, and Clemson.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
That's strong. That's strong.
I mean, that's two, four. That's going to be like eight ranked teams in the SEC alone if they just do what they're supposed to do.
Right. Well, I mean, but look at the Big Ten.
And that's without Auburn or LSU coming back.
Right. Look at the Big Ten.
Yeah, the they got like the six same, or seven.
They would be the same way.
Yeah.
If, you know, Michigan, right? Ohio State.
Wisconsin.
Penn State. You know,
Wisconsin. Iowa.
Iowa. Michigan State every once and again.
You six or seven in the Big Ten.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that would really change that for sure at that point. I'm getting fearful, though, that this is going to become essentially, Dan Plucker brought it up the other day, our executive producer, that he's like, Sparky, this is going to the way of like two super conferences. And that's how this whole thing is going to shape up. And then everybody else will play for a completely different deal.
And I don't know what's happening out West because that used to be strong. USC and UCLA, they used to run that. Oregon, they used to run that. It just seems like they've fallen on hard times as of late. Because USC and UCLA, Oregon, I mean, those three programs used to be very dominant out there. And they're not. I don't know what's going on.
No, we automatically put those schools in the Big 12, but those schools could go to the ACC. I mean,
sure,
you've got Georgia Tech is in the ACC.
Yeah, they could.
Wake Forest.
They could.
Louisville.
Yeah.
I mean, so you could definitely do that to replace Florida State and Clemson. They could swap in and take two of those teams from the SEC and move them over to the ACC if they wanted.
Yeah, if they wanted to.
They could take a Tennessee and a Vanderbilt if that's something that they wanted to do. That doesn't really help them at all.
No.
In any sport,
no,
per se.
But you're right. If they can do Notre Dame and Iowa State, dude, woo, and then Notre Dame would go in the West with Wisconsin.
And Iowa State wouldn't be allowed. Would they be put with Iowa on the West, too?
I think they put them in the East.
Because they
have crossovers.
Yeah, but they don't have Michigan and Michigan State separated.
No, they don't. I mean, they could, but I'm sure Notre Dame would go in the West.
So then it's Notre Dame, Ohio State every year, essentially.
I'm sure Notre Dame would go in the West.
Yeah. So then it would be Notre Dame, Ohio State every year, more than likely in football.
Well, I don't know because Notre Dame had not the cover off the ball, really.
They've been pretty good under Brian Kelly now.
They've been a lot like Wisconsin.
They were in the playoff last year.
And they gave them a bone.
They gave them a bone?
Notre Dame. Notre Dame will have the same problem that Penn State had.
Which is?
That the Big Ten is too many good teams, and then they don't get
the armies and navies of the world on the schedule.
There's too many good teams, and then they'll end up losing to like Northwestern when they should beat them, but because they played Michigan, Ohio State 2 weeks before,
they're all battered.
They got nothing left to beat Northwestern, which is a pretty good program.
Sure. Yeah.
But not good enough to beat them. But I mean, that's what ends up. So that's what has ended up happening to Penn State, is that, or then all of a sudden, then Minnesota jumps up there, and then Minnesota wins a couple, two, three games that they shouldn't win. They go beat, because didn't Minnesota beat Penn State last year?
I think so. I'd have to go back.
In Minnesota, maybe. So you got. I mean, so Minnesota's a program right now, I think, on the come up. What's the guy they got over there? The Roll Your Boat
Roll
guy?
Roll Your Boat guy, yeah.
Yeah.
Let's see. Oh, that was – no, I got this year's
schedule. Minnesota
up.
Was another team that was ranked. They were ranked in the top 10 there for a minute last year.
Yeah, and then they fell back.
Yep. And then Wisconsin went and beat them, I think, at Minnesota. After the, and see, that was another thing. They played their hard game, I believe, Penn State. And then I think Wisconsin caught them after that game, maybe, and then they lose to Wisconsin.
Minnesota ended up 3-4 in the conference.
Was that last year?
Minnesota was 3-4 in the conference. Badgers were 3-3 in the conference. And the West was Northwestern 6-1, Iowa 6-2.
Who was it? Was a year before then? I believe Minnesota was really good.
Really good 2 years ago.
Yeah.
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 And they came down to that last game, and Wisconsin took them out.
Right.
And that was the end of that. He's Gary Ellerson, Steve Sparky.
I like it. It's fun.
I'm.
You don't like it?
I'm just fearful of how this affects Wisconsin. Like the NIL thing you said isn't a big deal. It's not. Worry about it. I'm fearful of that. I'm fearful of the super conferences and the Big Ten not actively plucking anybody at this point. Because you have to get in where you fit in at this point. And maybe they're working behind the scenes and they can't announce anything until they have it done.
Right.
But if the SEC is going to go to like 20, 25 teams or whatever this is going, you're going to have to be able to keep up with the Joneses as well.
Right.
You just are. I mean, right. You're not going to have any choice. And then you start talking about, you know, the money coming in for these athletes and these recruits. Now you're in the SEC, and now you have all the sponsorship money tied into it to be able to pay the top quarterback, to pay the top left tackle or whatever.
But it's always been that way, Steve.
Well, yeah, but now it's going to get, I think it's going to get even more exaggerated based on where these programs are going.
People don't even know how bad this stuff
and
was.
And I don't even know what Ohio State's going to do.
People have no idea how bad this was.
Right, but Ohio State's got to be looking at this going, what are we going to do something here soon? If Urban Meyer was at Ohio State, he'd be screaming from a rooftop going, y'all, we better do something as a conference because the SEC is going to end up with everybody.
Oh, yeah, he would be.
We're going to be stuck over here. Ryan Day, I don't think has said anything
he's
yet.
He's not.
But Ohio State, if anybody should be raising a flag right now, it's them because they're consistently in the top three, top four every year.
Well, who is this kid they got coming early?
Quarterback.
Quinn Ewers, something like that. I don't know who this kid is.
I thought you had to graduate to get to college.
I thought you did too.
So unless he's graduating early.
He has to be.
That's all I can think of. Leaving his junior year after his junior year of high school this year, not going to play a senior year of high school football, but go to Ohio State and essentially be a part of that program early.
He has to be.
It's crazy. Sparky, Gary, Leroy Butler, Anthony Watrado, senior MLB writer for Forbes. He'll tell us all about not only the Brewers, but how they stack up against those teams out west. He joins us coming up next. But first, Gary is going to tell us all about his friends at the Jewelry Center.
D. Murray is the owner at the Jewelry Center, guys. Three locations locally, 76 and Layton Plaza in Brookfield off of Blue Mountain Road and Tri-City National Bank Building. And third location for you folks in Burlington, Wisconsin. Statewide, shop TJC.com. Shop TJC.com, guys. You can peruse their website. You can do it here locally if you feel like, if you don't want to go in the store. And you can buy just about anything you want to buy right there at their website. Guys, call my good friends up today and ask for D. Murray. Guys, you can design your own engagement ring right now, folks, right there at shoptjc.com. Within 48 hours, they'll get back to you with the price of the diamond ring. Guys, don't pay more. Pay less at the Jewelry Center. Call the owner today. His name is Dean Murray. Call him today.
Border to Border, the Big Show Radio Network.
Wendy's Big Show, served up hot and fresh. Steve Sparky, Fiverr, Gary Ellerson, Leroy Butler, who broadcast live from the Lakeland University studios with online learning at 7 locations throughout the state. Learn on your terms, lakeland.edu. Joining us now on the Schneider Orange Hotline, Anthony Watrado, senior MLB writer for Forbes. Follow him on Twitter at Anthony Watrado. Again, Schneider is hiring drivers right now. For more info, call them 800-44-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com. That's 800-44-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com. Anthony, thanks for coming on, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me.
All right. First things first. I've been promoting you all throughout the show, talking about the fact that we're going to get that West look from you as far as how they stack up against the Brewers. But your perspective on where the Brewers are right now and how they sit in the NL currently with their starting pitcher, with Hader, and with some of the hitting or lack thereof right now.
With their starting pitcher. they have one guy.
They got three guys. Yeah, I misspoke. Yeah. I mean, Woodruff, Peralta, Burns, you know.
Yeah. I know what you're saying, though. Because depth matters. And it looks like they're going to coast to the finish line in the Central. I think the rest of the division made sure of that as well. So you look at what they have and how they stack up against the rest of the, I guess, the rest of the league. And the NL East is a little bit of a kind of a bungle right now. No one really knows exactly what anybody else has. The Mets are hurt. Baez just got hurt, so who knows how that's going to go now. So I would say if healthy, they're probably the favorite there, but they're not healthy. And so who knows? And I think, so you look at the NL West and those three teams there with the Giants, the Dodgers, and the Padres, and that's basically, I think, when you try to break this thing down, those are the clubs that you have to really look at first because they're the most complete at this point. And probably three teams that for the most part, are going to be in the postseason, we think. So, look, the Giants aren't going anywhere. I know they're a surprise team, and a lot of people are waiting for them to kind of fall off. They haven't. They've been an injured team, but luckily they haven't been hurt, aside from Brandon Crawford recently. They haven't been hurt in terms of, like, long-term injuries to guys like Buster Posey or Gosman or anybody like that who's been really critical to their success. And they have a pretty decent bullpen. It's vulnerable in certain places, but it can get got. But so far they're getting the job done. The Dodgers have sustained some of those bigger injuries to some of their bigger guys. Cody Bellinger's guy's just never gotten going since he's come back from a fractured leg and a hamstring injury. Betts is dealing with the hip thing right now. He just came back. Obviously, Kershaw's on the shelf. Then you got the ridiculous Bauer situation. And so that trade for Scherzer and Trey Turner for them was a big deal. I think probably a game changer over the last couple months of the regular season. And then the Padres with Tatis, that really changes their makeup. And that rotation isn't as good as I think a lot of people had thought it might be. I was not one of those people. I thought they needed more still, and I thought that them not going out and getting an arm at the deadline was a mistake. So when you look at how the Brewers stack up, if they can get healthy, I think that bullpen could be a pretty big weapon for them come the postseason because we all know the games get shorter from the starters' perspective, and they have guys who can get them through 5-6 innings and be pretty effective. Especially in a short series, I think whoever they go up against in the Padres and the Giants, because the Giants' rotation depth is a little suspect also. So I think in a short series, the Brewers they might be a favorite there. I know their record is not going to allow that to happen unless something happens in the next couple months, but I think they're probably a better team when you look at it from that perspective than the Padres or the Giants. The Dodgers, it depends on their health. If they can line up Bueller, Scherzer, Kershaw, Urias in any series, no one has a better four-man rotation than that in the National League right now. So, just coming from the pitching perspective, I think the Brewers possibly have the second-best rotation going into things, all things being healthy.
Anthony, if you look at the Brewers team as well, I mean, I think they've, turned this thing around and did a little bit differently. Normally it was a team built around offense and hitting the ball out of the park. And you talked a little bit about it now. It's really about their pitching. But, if they can get Yelich and maybe Kane back to, I guess, their glory days or what Yelich were a couple of years ago, I think offensively they could be a much better ball club than what we've seen so far.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, obviously, those have hurt. Especially Yelich. I mean, you go from a guy who's an MVP and looking like a perennial MVP candidate to it's tough to keep him on the field, and when he is there, he's not quite himself. The Dodgers are seeing it too with Bellinger. They kind of sort of their rise, I think, came around the same time, and sort of their flatlining has come around the same time too. So they're very similar in that way. The difference is the Dodgers have a deeper lineup, and the Brewers really need Yelich to anchor that. And so when he's gone, that's a huge hole that they can't fill with depth, I think. And so you guys are right. Look, since I was there covering the team, that was a club built around offense. They tried to outslug teams. They had four or five guys hitting 20 home runs in one lineup before it was fashionable.
Could you imagine if that Braun, Fielder, Hardy, Hart, Weeks team had these three pitchers in the starting rotation back then? That team would have won a World Series.
Yeah, you know what? That's not far off, man. They would have been right there. I think those postseason appearances that they did make, it's similar to an NBA team who all they can do is fast break, and they don't play any defense. There's no other way of scoring. They just have to get the ball and run, and that's kind of what the Brewers were in those days. And I think obviously now they're probably more of a complete team, but they've had a change in philosophy. Obviously, I mean, you know, the way they've developed players, who they've traded for, the way they kind of they resemble a lot of the Rays, the Giants, the Dodgers, kind of, you know, these clubs who are willing to take flyers on guys who other teams might not, try to get their player development system to get them to a point where they're able to contribute, and if not, they're not afraid to let somebody go and go on to the next thing that might help. And so I think that's really helped them find some gems. It's really helped their player development system shine, I think. And it's the reason why I think, you know, back, in, you know, 10 years ago or so, when you were looking at the Brewers, even longer than that, it was this up and down sort of, we're going to make the playoffs one year, we're not going to make the playoffs the next couple of years, we're going to make it again, and then we're going to miss it. This is, I think, is shaping up to be a team in that division that could make the playoffs consecutive years in a row. And so I think when you have that consistency, you're going to give yourself a shot every single time, because especially when you have pitching, and that's what the Brewers are aiming at, because the Major League Baseball playoffs are more of a crapshoot than any of the other professional sports in this continent. It's been proven. It just is, because it's more of a drastic change from the regular season to the postseason. So what wins in the regular season, we've seen, doesn't win necessarily in the playoffs. And so if the Brewers can just get in, they have pieces that can take them there. There's no doubt about it.
Let me ask you this, Anthony Wetrato, senior MLB writer for Forbes. tell me this. How much of a concern do you think there is across baseball right now of COVID-19 and how this plays in the postseason? Because we've seen now a couple of different teams get hit pretty hard by this, including the Milwaukee Brewers right now.
It's gotten a lot more serious in the last 10 days, I think. I think if they weren't having meetings about it before, they're having them now. All sports, I think, thought that they were kind of past this. And I think, you know, most of the country probably did too, or obviously not. And now you're going to come into the end of the summer and getting ready to play your playoff games in the fall. And there's still a lot of uncertainty about how that's going to go. Not just in terms of fans and will stadiums be open, but, you know, are players going to have to be in a even stricter bubble? All that kind of stuff. So, yeah, there's definitely concern now because, look, we all know ownership does not want to lose games. No. They do not want to lose fans, and especially coming off of last season. So they're going to do what they can to find loopholes or find ways to keep this thing open. I mean, you know, I watch a lot of local market RSN feeds, and I don't see any teams, you know, telling their communities to mask up or to get vaccinated or anything like that, even though it's in their best interest probably, because – The longer this thing takes to go away, the more it might affect that bottom line. And, you know, owners know that because they experienced it last season. I think it'd be prudent of them to kind of get together and say, look, we need to do this. We need to start making sure that our postseason is going to be able to be played with people in the seats. Because the way things are going right now, it's looking less and less likely every day.
Anthony, what about the trade deadline and what the Brewers did there? Are you fans of what they did? Eduardo Escobar comes in. He can play everywhere, obviously, for the Brewers. Last night, a couple walks, triple, home run, adds a power bat and some versatility to this Brewers offense, which I think they obviously needed. And then a couple of relief arms to go along with it. Now the question just really is, did they do enough to keep up with those teams out west?
Yeah, they were active and fairly aggressive, and, you know, that's good. They're a team, though, that is always them, the Rays, teams like them, that kind of sit in the stratosphere where they do in terms of the three tiers of Major League Baseball economics, where you have to be very careful about how aggressive you actually are. You know, could they have gone out and gotten a Matt Scherzer and a Trey Turner, or just a Max Scherzer by himself, or even a Craig Kimbrel?
Well, David Stearns hinted at geography played a role in why they weren't able to do some stuff, and people think that meant Scherzer. I don't know if they were in on Scherzer or not, but Stearns did say that geography played into why they weren't able to get a deal or two done, possibly.
Sure. You know, I mean, guys like Scherzer have, you know, they have clauses that, and Beatle rights. So, yeah, I mean, you know, of course that plays into it. But my point being, I don't know if they would have had the capital to make a deal like that in the first place. Not that they don't have the system that could have paid for an arm like Scherzer. It's that, is it wise to do something like that? Because if you can't go out and say, sign a guy like Scherzer in a free agency, then you're also that kind of organization that has to keep its prospects close to its hip and really count every penny when it comes to those guys. You can't give up the farm for a rental arm, right? You know, you can't do things like that when because those players become more valuable to you as the years go along than they would say to a team like the Padres, who isn't afraid to spend and who isn't afraid to make 1,000 trades. And so, you know, I like what they did. Is it enough to keep up with those other teams? I think they have enough now to give those teams a fight. When you stack them up on paper with, let's say, the Dodgers, who are, you know, behind in the division, but probably still the favorites, just from a pitching standpoint, they probably don't. But again, no one does right now. If they're healthy, they're the deepest rotation in baseball. But I guess to answer your question, yes, they've done enough to say, yes, we can compete. Is it enough to say, man, you don't want to play the Brewers, they're the favorite? No. But again, I don't know that they can actually go out and make those kinds of moves unless they say, we have a small window, this is our time, we're all in. But the Brewers' window is big. It's wide.
Yeah.
It's going to be open for a while, so you cannot mortgage your future that way because a Max Scherzer type might be on the market.
Right. I would agree with you because I think if you look at their top three pitchers, what they have those guys under control for another 4 years maybe?
Yeah, I would have to look at their situations, but yeah, they're under control. None of those guys are rentals, right?
Right. None of those guys. So which means that, I mean, they have enough time to – not necessarily go all in, but to make some moves. Do you feel like that the Brewers are getting the respect that they deserve now in and around Major League Baseball as a really good baseball team?
Yeah, you know, that stuff's always tough to gauge
yeah.
when you're living in the forest, right? It's yeah. hard to see outside. Living out here, I was kind of that way with Alex Caruso.
Yeah. yeah.
And going, you know, is he a cult favorite in Southern California? Obviously, we know he's a good player.
Mm-hmm.
Or is he a guy people know nationally? And we kind of got our answer with that yesterday when the Bulls signed him. But it's similar, I think, to when you live in a certain market and you go, we know this team is good. We know this team can win a World Series. Does everyone else see that? Before, like maybe let's say like 2017-ish?
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't think so. I think people thought it's a good team. They got into the playoffs. They have the back-end bullpen pieces that could really do some damage, kind of like the Kansas City Royals did. who knows how sustainable this all is. Mm-hmm. You know, I think they were seeing in that sort of lens. Now, I think it's very different. I think they are seen as, unless the Cubs go in and just start spending a ton of cash.
Which they won't.
Which, I'm with you. I think that people are looking at the Brewers as the perennial division favorites going forward.
Totally agree. Anthony,
I think they probably saw that going into the season also.
Right. Don't want to cut you off, but we're up against the network clock here, so I got a girl. Anthony Wittrottle, senior MLB writer from Forbes. Follow him on Twitter. Great follow at Anthony Wittrottle. Thank you, my friend.
All right, guys. Talk to you soon.
Take care. There he is, Anthony Wittrottle on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. For more info, call him 844-PRIDE. Go to SchneiderJobs.com. That's 844-PRIDE. Go to SchneiderJobs.com.
Wisconsin-wide, the Big Show Radio Network.
Wendy's Big Show, served up hot and fresh, live from the Lakeland University studios. Wendy's only serves one kind of breakfast, a better one, and for a limited time, the sausage egg and Swiss croissant, bacon egg and Swiss croissant, and honey butter chicken biscuit are all just $2 for $4. Made with quality ingredients like fresh cracked eggs. So come get the Wendy's $2 for $4 while it's hot. Choose wisely. Choose Wendy's. Limited time only. Price of participation may vary. And U.S. Wendy's single item at a regular price. And coming up next hour, we have a decision to make. And we're just going to decide this right here on the air, Gary Ellerson. We're going to figure out what we want to do. Do we want to go back and talk about the Milwaukee Bucks and P.J. Tucker and the free agent acquisitions that they've had today? Or do you want to go back to the Packers letting players go too early in the past?
I want to talk about P.J. Tucker.
All right. We'll go back. We'll discuss more about P.J. Tucker moving on from the Bucks going to the Miami Heat. Plus, the Bucks adding a couple of players today per Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN. So we'll get into that and tell you who those players are. And, I don't know. I'm not excited about who they've added, but it doesn't really matter. You've got Giannis, Middleton, and Jrue Holiday, so I guess it really doesn't matter who you add as long as those three players play at a high level. But we'll talk more about that. Coming up next, Wendy's Big Show, served up hot and fresh. Sparky, Gary Ellerson, and Leroy Butler joins us again coming up in the next hour here on the Big Show Radio Network.
You're listening to the Big Show Radio Network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.